one hit. It's 11 bucks.
Alright. Hey gang, it's Daryl Davis. Y'all there?
Yes.
Alright, good. We are a couple of minutes early, just dealing with setting up the technical aspect here. So I'm just going to select all. Okay, so we are, boy, we've got like so many technical things here. I am sharing my screen right now on, for those of you that have called in using the screen share, and I'm also on Facebook Live on the Power Group. And, what else? And plus the conference call. So we've got all these different vehicles that you could be listening in. Hang on, I'm going to mute everybody. Okay, so I think by unmuting yourself, you can do it. Let me just double check, gang. So we're just, give me a second here. Be patient. You can unmute yourself by hitting *6 anytime that you want to talk. Okay, so very good. Let's see. Boy, we got a lot of people on the call, very excited. All right, so it is almost 1 o'clock. Let's do a test. Who wants to ask me a question? Hit *6 on your keypad one time, and that will take you off mute, and then you can ask me something. So somebody take yourself off mute so we can test this over here. Don't be shy now. Come on.
Somebody, I don't have a question, but I'm just testing. Right, how testing.
So, testing, this is good. Who is it?
This is Lynn. I helped you with the chairs. I was one of your last person at the seminar last year.
Okay, Lynn, thank you. Yes, thank you. I appreciate you. I remember. Oh, yes, you are wonderful.
Yeah. I was helping with the chairs. I'm the chair girl. My name is Lynn.
You're the chair girl, and you're helping me again, Lynn, by doing the test on. You're just a giving person, aren't you?
I try to be on top of things.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate you. And I got to tell you something, that, you know, that made a difference that day in the seminar. It really did on so many levels, not just logistically helping me, but it was nice that you cared enough to jump in like that. And so that gave me moral support, too. So thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right. Well, so now that I know that that's working, so gang, here we're going to officially get started. Thanks again, Lynn. So gang, welcome to this month's Power Aging Call. So as I said, there's a lot of different ways that you can be accessing this webinar. Either you're called in or you can do it online, and you can get to see my computer screen, which is there in the Power Group. There's a link there in the Power Group, the Power Aging Group on Facebook. There's also the link on the Power Program website that you have there. So if you want to see my face, you can go to the Power Group on the Facebook group and see that. And to see my screen, you can also follow that link. So there's a lot of different ways. All right, but I'm going to focus on the call. I don't like to get distracted by the technical stuff. So now, the purpose of this call, for those of you that this is your first time, and I welcome everybody who it's their first time, is to go over, first of all, the magazine that we do every month. For those of you that are seeing the screen, I'm going to show you. This magazine is a PDF that's uploaded to the Power Program website, and you have to have access to the Power Program website. You have to log in. After you log into the Power Program website, you scroll down and you have access to the magazine. You click on there, and it's a PDF. And so I'm going to just show you the PDF. Those not watching, just listen in. The first half of every magazine every month, we interview a top agent, a successful person in the field. This month, we have Chris Swim. And Chris, she closed over $7 million in sales. She's from Duxbury, Massachusetts. And I'm going to tell you, what if you're looking at the magazine now or later on after you look at it, she has a really great, impressive resume. I just really love it. We actually got this from her website, and it's on page 4 in the magazine, and it really highlights her production, her success, her community involvement. It's really a well-laid-out magazine. We had a great interview, and so then we transcribed the interview, so it's in the magazine. After the transcription is a lot of forms and checklists and tips. This month, I think I might have given you too many, actually. It goes from page 27 to page 49. So there's 20, I can't do the math. There's 25 or 26 pages of really great content. And we'll go over that content in just a minute. The other part of the call is to answer your questions and to give you some one-on-one coaching. Now, here's what happens. You know, we've got a group call. And we've got a bunch of people on the call. And, you know, we've got about 100 people or so. And so not everybody can ask a question. But I will tell you, when you ask a question, I'm going to take that question and make sure that everybody can get value from it. Okay? So don't ever think that your question is so unique that somebody else will not benefit from it. I promise you that it will. So don't be shy with your questions. Now, before I go to the questions, I go to the emails that people send to me ahead of time. So if you send me anything now, any emails now, I can't promise that it won't be covered on this call, will be covered on the next call. But the best way to ask me a question during the call is to hit *6 on your keypad if you've called in, and then I can hear you. Don't type or text any questions because I rarely get to see those. All right, so with that said, now, Christopher Phillips, if you're on the call, you actually asked a question that I didn't get to a while back. Christopher Phillips, if you're on the call, take yourself off mute by hitting *6, and then I can chat with you. If not, then I'll just read his question and tell you what he said. So, Chris, if you're there. All right, so Chris is not on the call. Here's what he had asked. He said, any thoughts or tips or something to point out me regarding my fear of cold calling? I've been to your seminar, and I'm coming next month, which was in February. I have the Red X, but I'm not calling consistently. So, again, you know, one of the things that we know is really important in our business is you need to stay focused on building your shoe store. You've heard me do that analogy. And how you do that is you've got to prospect. And I spoke to one of our coaching students yesterday. He attended the live seminar I did in his area 2 weeks ago. In that 2 weeks, this young new agent, he's young and new, I mean young not just in years, which is true, but young as an agent. In just 2 weeks, he's already scheduled 15 listing appointments with FSBOs and expireds, and I think everybody on this call would agree that that's very impressive. Well, I'll tell you how he did it. First of all, he got the Red X file system where he's getting all of his leads from. So that's number one. Number two is he took the scripts that I have for calling FSBOs and expireds and hung them up on the wall, and he just consistently calls those people. So, you know, that's – now he's going to get to the point. He's gone on 5 listing appointments so far. He hasn't gotten anything yet, but he's learning. And the important thing is he's got the dialogue. Now, for those of you that are power agents, after you log into the website, the dialogue for calling FSBOs and expireds is right on this page here, and it's on my screen. It's under the category called Dialogues. You first go to Classroom, and then after Classroom, you'll see Dialogue, and then there's the Expired Dialogue and the FSBO Dialogue. So as far as the Red X is concerned, for those of you not using it, just to remind you, the Red X, if you go to the website, DarrylSpecial.com, D-A-R-R-Y-L, special.com, all one word. Type in the coupon code SMILE with all capital letters. That must be capital. And then you'll be able to get the setup fee waived, $150. You get the first 30 days for free, so you can kick the tires, see if you like it. To me, Red X is the absolute best system to help you stay focused. So that's the first thing, is you should have a file system. If it's not Red X, it should be something else. The second thing is, you know, have the dialogue, make it easy for yourself to make the calls. But here's the third thing, is recognize, you know, that procrastination that we do. The procrastination we usually do is, you know, I got a prospect today, but let me just take care of this thing first. And of course, after you take care of that thing, whatever that thing is, then, well, there's one other thing I need to do. And then there's another thing. So there's we always can find that one thing that we want to do before we have to prospect. And what winds up happening is that we have a full day of, let me just do this first, and we never get to the prospecting. The best time to call FSBOs and expireds is when people are home after dinner. But if you're finding that you can't keep that commitment to calling, let's say around 6 o'clock, several days during the week, doesn't have to be every day, then to get in the habit and get past the fear of making the calls, the thing to do is do the prospecting then first thing in the morning. As soon as you get up and get dressed, get ready to go to work, that should be your first thing. It's not the ideal time, but the point is not to get a good number of people on the phone. The point of doing that is to get past your fear and procrastination of making the calls. That's the purpose. After you've done that for a couple of weeks and you find out that FSBOs are not that scary, that it is easier to make these calls than you realized, then it'll be easier for you to move the schedule to 6 o'clock when people are home after dinner, and you'll probably will keep that time. So that's my recommendation. The last thing I'm going to say about calling FSBOs, and we can do a whole thing about FSBOs, but I want to get to some of these other questions. Is your commitment when you're making the calls to FSBOs and expireds is to build a relationship with another human being, not to get the appointment. If you focus on getting the appointment, you're putting yourself under too much stress. You're going to sound clumsy. You're going to be in your head, and it highlights the fear more. You know, if you put yourself under that pressure, I got to make this call to get a listing appointment, that whole thinking is going to not want you to make the call more so. So if you just kind of relax with it and say, you know what, let me just call and just have a conversation and see if I can build a relationship with this person. Do not be committed to the appointment. Don't be attached to the result. Just be committed to the conversation of getting to know another human being. If you take that attitude, it'll be easier for you to get past the procrastination and the fear. All right, now, next question I got from Manula. Am I saying that right? Manulia, I'm sorry if I'm doing that wrong. Manula, if you're on the phone, hit *6 to take yourself off mute. That way I can talk to you. So *6 one time. It takes a minute for it to happen. And are you there? Okay. Now, let me call out the other people really quick so you'll be prepared and you can actually hit *6. If not, I'm just going to burn through the questions. I've got Sarah, Nath. That's going to be next. Gary Nagruka. Sorry, Gary, I screwed up your name. Remax Home Connection in New Jersey. Carl Brugnoli. What the heck is it with all these names? Can I get a John Smith over here? Carl Brugnoli. Sorry. All right. So if any of you are on this call, hit *6. And then call out your name. While I'm waiting for people to do that, if they're on the call, Manula, her question was, what is the most effective way to advertise a property for a quick sale? I'm going to tell you the best way, this is an easy question, is you just got to price it to sell. There's really...
Carl,
when you advertise, who just came on the call? I can hear you unmuted. Who is that?
Carl Brugnoli.
Hey, Carl, how you doing, buddy? So, Carl,
good, you.
Good, man. I want you to stay there while I finish these other questions, all right?
All right.
So the best way to get a property sold really is price. You know, there's two things that influence a sale. There's the price and then there's the marketing. And when you have a really high price, it's going to take more marketing to get that price. There is a point of diminishing return. You can explain this to a homeowner. There is a point of diminishing return. If you price something way high, like it's never going to sell, like if you've got a Kia car and the car is worth, I don't know, $10,000, I'm just making, I don't know what it's those are, but if it's $10,000 and you want to sell that car for $15,000, all the advertising in the world is not going to sell a $10,000 car for $15,000. So there is a point where it's just overpriced. But every house has price categories, price ranges. And by the way, what I'm saying here, gang, is good to actually communicate on a listing appointment. You know, the higher you get, so first of all, there's a category. You have to make sure you're in the category. That's number one. Now, when you're on the low end of the category, the property will move fast. It doesn't take as much marketing. You can even argue in those scenarios, I would go on the lower end of the commission. You know, if I say to a homeowner, I average 6 to 7% is what my clients pay. I have some clients that will actually pay 8. But in your case, if we stay within that category, you go on the low end, then I'm going to be spending less time, less money, and I need to promote your listing easier to the agents because the price is so aggressive. I don't need to pay out a lot to agents, too. So we can go on the lower end of the commission because that happens. Now, if we go on the higher end of the category, well, it's going to take more time. If it's going to take more time, it's going to take more advertising, it's going to take more resources, means a higher commission. So that's the relationship between price, marketing, and time. So that's number one. Number two, if you price a property to sell, or if it's not priced like really, just like it's in the range, but it's maybe in the middle of the high, the other way to do that is pay out a higher commission to the agents. To me, MLS and our network of agents is the best way that we move property. And to me, the Selling Brokers Commission, I always looked at it as a marketing tool. So if I had a listing that was a shiny penny and it was going to sell quickly, and I'm at, let's just give 6% as the example, and if in my MLS the norm is we would pay out 50% of the gross commission, then this case would be 3%. But if this listing is a shiny penny and it's going to sell quickly and it's priced right, I may not pay out 3. I may pay out 2.5% and I keep 3.5%. Why? Well, I deserve to get paid more because I got the listing, number one. Number two is I priced it to sell. It's an easier sell for the agents. On the opposite, if let's say I've got a high-priced listing, it's still in the price range, but it's high and it's going to take extra effort, extra work. You know, if I've got the 6%, I may consider paying out 3.5% and I keep 2.5%. So that's another thing to think about when it comes to moving a listing quickly. Price it aggressively and or pay out a higher commission. One other thing I've got for you guys that I just thought of, is, which I don't know if you've heard, I think this is a great idea, is if you go to Home Depot and you get those solar lights, yeah? And you've got a for sale sign on your listing, your front lawn, I would go take those solar, go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get those solar sites, the solar lights, so you can spotlight the yard sign so it kind of shows up at night. Isn't that cool? I love that idea. So I think it's inexpensive. By the way, any of these cool little marketing things like that as an example, I would share on a listing appointment. Part of what we do for a homeowner is to be creative in our marketing. So if there's anything that you do that's creative, especially if it's something that they can't do, I would definitely share that on your listing appointment. And while I'm saying that, let me share one other thing. What is the best thing to talk about on a listing appointment? You know, when you go on a listing appointment, you've got MLS, yard sign, lockbox, feature sheet. Like, there's all these things that we do for a homeowner. What should you talk about on a listing appointment? You should talk about the things you're most passionate to talk about. Don't try and talk about everything in the short period of time that you have. Just talk about the best things. I just did a seminar Saturday, and it was on prospecting FSBOs and expireds for leading real estate companies in the world. I had 50 minutes to share like 3 hours of material. You know, so I had to look at what was my favorite, best material to cover in a short, edited time than what I'm used to sharing. So same thing on a listing appointment. Don't feel like you got to share everything. Just share your favorite. Now, Sarah, Nate, did you come on the call yet, Sarah? Okay, Sarah's question is, I'm sure this has been asked before, but what do you do when you call an expired and they ask, why didn't you show my home while it was on the market? It's a great question. You might even get that question when you're face-to-face with an expired. This is what I used to say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Hanana, there's two types of agents in real estate. There's selling agents, marketing agents. A selling agent is the type of agent that likes to show property. They take buyers out and they spend a lot of time taking a buyer out. And you just think about it. You take a buyer out and you show them five houses. That's going to take a couple hours of your time with just one buyer. Now, that home you only might have gotten shown that one time, but this agent has taken up 2 hours of their time working buyers showing property. The other type of agent in real estate is called a marketing agent. Marketing agent, their job is to really not sell the home themselves. Their job is to market it and promote it to the other selling agents that are taking buyers out and showing properties. The reason why I didn't show your property when it was on MLS is because that's not who I am. I'm not a showing agent. I am a marketing agent. What I do is I take my time during the day, however many clients I have, I eat, sleep, and drink. How do I promote my clients' homes to other agents? How do I get other buyers to come through the property, which is really what you want to do? And by the way, I'd like to suggest that it's possible the reason why your house expired is because you actually hired a selling agent who was trying to sell it themselves and show it, as opposed to working with a marketing agent. So what I'd like to do is come over and share with you the success formula that I have for people such as you to help sell your property. The other technique that you can do is you can say that my company, we like to focus on our company listings first. You know, we first go to our company listings, our exclusive listings, then we go to the MLS. And just at the time that I'm on a call. Can you need some sort of problem? No, to stop the noise in the background. Sorry, gang, got distracted. Okay. The next thing here, Gary Nagurka, are you on the call? Gary, are you on the call? All right. Here's Gary's call. Actually, Gary's got a big question, so I'm going to put Gary to the side because I got a lot of great material for him, but it's going to take so long, I won't put him on the side. Carl, I know you're with me. Carl?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So, Carl, let me just see if I can increase the volume on your sound there, because you sound a little light here.
Okay.
Do you have your headset or you have your phone next to your mouth and stuff? Because I want to make sure I really hear you.
Okay. Let me see if I can turn up my volume. Let's see.
All right. Let me see if I can. Yeah, I can't see. I can't. That's all right. Let's do this. All right. So, Carl, what's your question? So everybody can hear it, buddy.
You're going to embarrass me. I sent it in, I think, a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And it was on Dialogue, I believe.
I would like more information, tips, and scripts for contacting FSBOs and expireds. Now, Carl, have you started, have you used the Dialogue that I've given you in the do you have the FSBO Dialogue from the Power Program?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And is there something specific about it? Because that Dialogue, I mean, there isn't too much more that I would add to it. I mean, there's different scenarios, different objections. Mm-hmm. Is there something specific that you were looking for? I know that question was a month ago. You said I would like more information, tips, and scripts for contacting FSBOs and expireds.
And since then, I've gone on to the classroom and the Dialogues to get it.
Okay, good. All right, so you've gotten the Dialogue there. You know, here's a couple of things I'll say, Carl, is number one, the Dialogue on the Power Program website is the best, okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing is some concepts that help with the Dialogue. When you're making calls to the FSBO, and by the way, Carl, have you started making calls?
At this point, not really. No, I've had mailings, so I've been following up and concentrating on that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, the problem with the mailings is it's really a technique to avoid the actual making the calls. And the calls are so much better and so much more effective because you can talk to so many more people. Like this agent, Carl, that I just talked about at the beginning of the call. His name's Andrew. And in 2 weeks, Carl, he's actually scheduled 15 listing appointments and gone on 5. That's pretty good,
that's
right?
Amazing. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and Carl, he's using the same Dialogue you have, all right? Now, the difference between, you know, if you do mailings to FSBOs, there's no way you're going to get 15 conversations and 5 appointments in a mailing. Do you follow me?
Yes.
So I'm going to suggest, Carl, you stop doing the mailings. The other reason why I'm going to suggest that you stop doing the mailings is because the mailings emotionally makes it easier for you not to make the call, because you tell yourself, well, at least I'm prospecting, doing something. At least I'm doing some mailings. So it makes it, if you take everything else away and you don't do anything else, then you're left with being forced to say, listen, if I don't pick up the phone, I'm not going to build my business and I'm not going to get listings. Does that make sense, Carl?
It does. It does. I hate to admit it, but it does make sense.
Yeah, so please, listen. Now, I'm going to backpedal just a little bit. Is there a time and place for doing mailings? Yes. Can you do advertising? And yes, there's things you can do in addition to the phones, but you got to do the phone first, otherwise you'll never get to it. So after you've been making some calls, generating some appointments, and then you're getting some listings, and some of them are selling, that's when you start taking your business and investing it in postcard mailings, letter mailings, advertising. But the first is you got to get on the phone. That's the key. All right, Carl?
All right. Okay.
The next thing is, Carl, you're going to make mistakes in the beginning. There's a few things to get through. Number one is the fear, the procrastination. There's three levels of mastery when it comes to FSBOs, and I'm going to go through it real quick. And then, gang, I'm going to open up the call to anybody that has a question. So get ready. After I finish this with Carl, it'll be your chance to ask me a question live. So think about what you want to ask me. Don't write it. Don't text it. Some people like to send messages to me. Don't do that or start a chat. Just hit *6 to take yourself off mute. Now, Carl, here's the three levels of mastery. The first level is, or the final level, is getting the listing. So you go on a listing appointment, and you have a conversation with a FSBO, you get the listing. The level before that is getting the appointment. And then the level before that, the very first level, is actually making the call. So here's the point that I'm trying to say here. Is in the beginning, you don't focus on getting listings. You don't even focus on getting the appointment. In the beginning, the first level of mastery is overcoming your fear and procrastination. Did you hear that?
I did.
If you get off today's call and before the day is over, if you spoke to 5 FSBOs, now let's do it this way, you spoke to 10 FSBOs and you got 0 appointments, some people would say, boy, that really stinks, talking to 10 and getting 0. But that's if you're focusing on the second level. The first level is the fact that you made the 10 calls. That's an accomplishment. Do you follow me, Carl?
Yes, I do.
Now, so you've got to not focus on getting the appointment. That you focusing on that is going to create the more fear and the more stress, and then you're going to avoid this sucker. So, now, if you did that today, you talked to 10 people, got 0. All right, good. Do it again tomorrow. So now you do the same thing tomorrow. Make some calls. Talk to some people. Get no appointments. But you did it a second day. This is great. We're doing good. Let's do it a third day. Now, after a couple of weeks, you should now have gotten past level 1, where now you are no longer afraid. You are no longer going to procrastinate. You have accomplished level 1. Level 2, now you start making the calls and say, all right, I got to get some appointments now. I can't keep doing level 1. I'm past level 1. So now you focus on your nuance and how you ask the questions and how you engage. And you focus on that, and then you start getting your appointments. It's a process of learning and growing, and you got to take it one step at a time. Okay?
All right. Yep. Yes.
Did this help you, Carl?
Yes. Yes. I got to get over the fear, and I definitely will do it. I need to make some money.
All right, Carl. Listen, this is it. Carl, if you need to make some money, this is the way, man. You got to do this, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Please email me. Let me know that you're doing this, Carl. I'm gonna look for your email now. Okay.
Okay. I will.
I am. I swear. If you need to make some money, you need to do this, man. Don't get in your own way. Okay. Just
right.
and again, I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'm going to open up the call to people. The fear is never going to go away, Carl, until you've made a bunch of calls. So don't think you're going to get on the call not afraid. That's not going to happen. So therefore, take your fear, take your worries, take your emotional baggage, you're messed up. I'm playing now. Mm-hmm. Take that and make the call anyway. Don't think you've got to have the fear go away and then make the call. No. Have the fear and make the call anyway. It's okay to have fear. Just don't let the fear have you and paralyze you. All right, Carl?
Okay. Will do.
All right, buddy. Thank you, sir. Do me a favor. Put yourself back on mute. *6. That's going to put you back on mute. Now, I'm opening up the call. Who has a question you want to ask me that I'm going to coach you on? Somebody who's got a question, *6 takes you off mute.
This is Tanzania. Hello.
All right. I got a couple of people. Who just said hello?
Darla.
Tanzania. Oh.
All right. I got Darla. I got two people, Darla and Tanzania.
Yes.
Tanzania. Okay. Darla, you first, darling. Where are you from?
Okay. Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls. Hey. Well, you got up early for this. All right.
Yeah, I did.
Yes, Darla. Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. All right. What's your question?
Well, I got quite a dilemma, and I'm getting a little personally attached to it, and I probably should let it go, but I'm going to run it by you and see what your opinion is. Listed a property in the end of October, came out at 369, and right off the bat, we could see that was not the number. Then the house, comparable house down the, about less than a mile away, reduced their price by $32,000, which that really hurt our price that we even had hoped for. Plus, we went into an election and a couple holidays and a new year.
Right.
Houses. So listing comes up for expiration or expires, and he comes back with me to me at this. Well, about 5 weeks before the listing expired, there's a couple things I should say is when we first put the house out, he called and said that the elementary school district was incorrect, and I fixed that, asked him if there was anything other discrepancies he saw. He said no. 5 weeks before the listing expires, he calls me up and tells me that the square footage is off by 300 square feet. So I explained how we use the tax data, and he argued with the tax data, and he told me what he thought the number was, and I said that I could correct that, and I'd have to use him as the source for the measurement.
Yeah.
Well, now that the listing has expired, and of course he's sitting at 364, and it's probably at best a 330 house. To 1988, not updated, over 3,500.
Okay, now, Darla, let me ask you a question. All right, so so number one, the listing, it's already expired with you, yes?
Yes.
All right, now ask me your question.
He wants to know what I can do to correct that discrepancy because he feels that the incorrect square footage is going to carry him through the entire selling process, regardless of who he lists it again with.
Okay, so hang on a second. So he wants you to help him, and
he wants to know what I'm going to do to fix that.
So he wants to know what you're going to do to fix it, and then he's going to relist with you, or he still may list with somebody else?
May list with someone else.
All right. So here's what I would do, Darla, is that it sounds like you've gotten some mistakes that happened, right? And mm-hmm. that probably hurt your credibility with him, yes?
Right.
Yeah. So you messed up some things, and that just happened. So, listen, you just got to let that go. It's sometimes really hard to do that, but that's number one. Again, whenever we make mistakes and we lose a listing for whatever reason because we mess something up or a deal falls apart, we really can get – I did a video today on Facebook about painting and how I learned something about painting is the focal point of the painting is called the positive, and the artists, they call the other areas of the painting the negative. So the positive is where you want somebody viewing the painting to focus on. So I thought that was very interesting. So Darla, you know, it's hard sometimes, and everybody else, when we have that mistake that we make, we want to focus on the negative, try and correct the negative and everything else, and that's not always good. It's going to drain us. So number one is just give yourself permission to fail and acknowledge that you made a mistake. That's number one. Number two, this
and
guy.
I told him I'd say if it was my error, I did apologize.
Okay. So, darling, here's what I would do. I think this would be a good learning experience for you to get clear about for the next listing or your career. What do you do when the homeowner says the square footage is different than what the tax records say? Now, what I would say to a homeowner is that it doesn't matter what you say because the tax record is what is the law, if you will. That's what everything goes by. So you can't argue. It's the same thing about saying, like, where's the property end and where's your neighbor's property begin? You know, you can say, well, my property is at that tree. But if the tax records say, no, it's not, it's at the fire hydrant, it doesn't matter what you think. So you follow me, Darla?
Absolutely.
So I would say from a legal standpoint, everybody in a sales contract is going to go by that. So now, could that be wrong? Absolutely. So How do we correct that? If it is wrong, it might not be. Do you know what the process is, Darla, to correct something that's wrong on the tax records?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'll tell you what I offered. I offered an appraisal. I offered an appraisal at my own expense to have them come out and measure the home and, give us an idea on what the value is in today's market. And
yeah, who would pay for that?
I said I would. Because
right,
I felt that he believes I made the mistake. So it's a small price to pay because I can get a pre-appraisal for a pretty reasonable amount of money.
You might have made a mistake on the first thing, but you didn't make a mistake here on the second. You know, you went by the tax records. That's what the tax records are. You know, you can't know that he thinks it's different if he doesn't tell you. He's been living in that house for 20 years, 10 years,
yeah.
2 years, whatever. It's his responsibility to communicate with you by law. The seller must communicate and disclose anything that's good, negative, or otherwise to anybody. So to a buyer, you know. So, so no, that's not – so I wouldn't take the beating so much on this. You know, if he knew something and he didn't share it with you, that's his mistake. Well, I didn't know it was different than the tax records. Well, that's still your mistake. You should know your home, what they're taxing you on. That's nobody's risk. It's your home.
Right.
So I wouldn't take the beating. I would say, no, you made the mistake, but here's what I will do for you. I would arrange. I wouldn't pay for this. If you've already said it, you've said it. But I wouldn't pay for it. I'd say, here's what you can do: you pay for it, and I'll reimburse you for it when it closes. That I'll do. I'll take some responsibility, even though it's not. I will take some responsibility because I really think I can help sell your property. If secondly, we price it correctly. But that's not what I was saying, Dana, Darla, is I would, and I'm going to go to the next question after I finish with you on this, Darla, is I would call the town and find out how do they determine the square footage of a property, because you may be wasting appraisal money. Like, that may not be how they do it.
Okay.
I mean, you can get paid for the appraiser, and you get this appraiser, and you call the – don't call the town after you do that, because the town says, that's nice that you did that, but it has to be number one. We have to go out and do it, or they may say it has to be one of our approved appraisers that measure the square footage, you see?
Okay. Yep, I get it.
So call the town first. Find out how do you change the square footage. By the way, which that's kind of screwy because once they change it, he's going to pay more in real estate taxes now. So I don't know if his argument is a good idea, all right?
Right.
So and I would point that out to him too. But but also, if he's not going to list it at your price, I wouldn't even bother. But what you should still do for your own sake, Darla, is call the town so you know what the process is as a professional realtor, period. So make that call, and then you can have the conversation with the homeowner, but make sure you price it to sell, okay?
I will. Okay.
All right,
great.
Darla. Thank you. You're welcome.
You.
Did that help you?
Yep. It does. It helps me immensely. So thank you.
Thank you for the question. Put yourself back on mute, please, star 6. Tanzania, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead, Tanzania. Where are you from?
I'm from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. I was just there.
I was there.
Yes, I remember you. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing just peachy keen. All right, so give me your question. Give me a question.
Well, first off, I wanted to say thank you because you've really given me some good advice this past week. So I wanted to say thank you first. I've been on the phones. I've been making phone calls. I haven't gotten any appointments, but I've had two very promising conversations with FSBOs. And I wanted to know, they both asked me before we hung up to send my information via text. I'm thinking, I just want to confirm that I should send something through the mail as well, just to keep my name and face in front of them, because they were pretty new. They were pretty new FSBOs. They wanted to try to sell on their own first.
Okay, so
pretty new to the market.
Here's a couple of things. First of all, you want to avoid mailing anything or emailing anything, and the reason why you want to avoid that is because most of us agents, we start getting programmed to make the call for the purpose of mailing something. When you have that as an option, you'll actually get less aggressive in trying to get the appointment face-to-face. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, it does.
Because you're going to start to lean on that, and you're going to actually start creating that. You know, you'll find yourself after several calls, you say, hi, I'm calling about your house. I was looking, it's very nice, yes. I was wondering, can I mail you something? Like, you won't even ask for the damn appointment. You follow me?
Yes.
So take that as an option out. That's number one. Number two, so you've been making these calls. I'm gonna and you're not getting the appointments though. So let's take a look at how you're doing that. Can you role play with me really quick?
Sure.
All right. I want to hear what you're doing. So I'm going to be a nice FSBO. So you call me, and I'm going to be nice, and I just want to see how you do the call, okay?
Look, I don't have my script in front of me.
You scared me. Okay. All right.
I'm ready.
Good. All right, good. Look at you, girl. All right. So I answer the phone. Ring, ring. Hello.
Hi, my name is Tanzania Daniel. I'm with Solid Source Realty. How are you this evening?
Very good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm calling about your house for sale. Is it still available?
Yes, it is.
Well, I work with buyers and sellers in your area. I wanted to find out what I could do to help you.
Okay. So, nothing. All right. So, now there's your problem. So, now, Tanzania, first of all, great in doing that. And I'm going to flip it now, and I'm going to call you, and I want you to hear the difference. And we're recording this call, so you'll be able to download this recording and listen to it again and again, okay? So you just keep in mind, at 40 minutes into the call is when I did the role play with you, okay?
Okay.
So you be a FSBO, and so ring, ring. You answer
Hello?
The phone now. Yes. Hi, I'm calling about the house for sale.
Yes, how can I help you?
Yes, is it still available, ma'am?
Yes, it is.
Well, hi, my name is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking me. Ma'am, the reason why I called is I noticed your ad in the paper online, and I was wondering, are you working with agents to sell your property?
If you bring me a buyer.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I'm looking at a copy of it right now, and it sounds really lovely. By the way, did you write this yourself?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did a great job, and so I see that it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath colonial. Is it a colonial like with all the bedrooms upstairs and one bath up and one down? Okay, and the square footage, I didn't see that. Do you know what the square footage is of the house or the property?
I would have to go back and look through my paperwork.
That's okay. You know, would you say it's a roomy house?
Yeah, very roomy.
All right, very good. By the way, I'm sorry. My name is Daryl. What's your name, ma'am?
It's Mrs. Daniel.
Miss Daniel. Okay, very good, Miss. And so the bedroom now, do you have a basement on the property?
No, we don't have a basement.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. It makes it easier, less clutter for people. Usually basements just become a storeroom. And as I see you got the property, how big is the property? Do you know that, or how big the backyard is?
The backyard is very large, and it's fenced in also.
Oh, okay, well, that's a good thing. Let me ask you, how long have you been in this property?
I've been in it for 15 years.
Wow. So why are you moving? That's a long time.
Well, we want to go be with the grandkids now, so we want to move closer to them.
Oh, awesome. Where are they at?
They're in Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you're not moving around the corner. You're actually changing states. My goodness. All right. have you seen any? This is very exciting. You know, to be at this point in your life where you get to spend time with the grandkids. I don't have any, but I'm hoping to have them soon someday.
dear joy.
Now, that's what I hear. I mean, anytime I see a grandparent with a grandchild, it just their life. It gives them like rebirth of life or something. It's just a beautiful thing to see. So, well, I'm very excited for you. Did you find a house already, or did you start looking down there yet? Or
yes, we did find a house.
Oh, okay. So this is, when do you want to make this happen then? So it sounds like you got a time situation here.
As soon as we can get this one, so we'll be on our way to Tennessee.
Well, Miss Daniel, your house, from what I can see, it sounds really great. Would you be offended if I just stopped by to take a look at your house, see what you have, see how I can maybe help you?
No, I wouldn't be offended at all.
All right. So that's the call. Now, Tanzania, what was different with what I did versus what you did?
You had more of a conversation about what they were going towards.
Right. So there's
and you were more interested in just making just you were more interested in trying to get in the door.
Right. So if there's several things that I did strategically different from a logistics standpoint, and I'm going to see if I can open this up. I'm on my computer screen. The FSBO dialogue that's on the website, it says, "Hi, I'm calling about the house for sale. It's still for sale. It's still available." Then I identified myself. So you identified yourself before you asked those two questions. So you jump right into that. And then the next thing is, your first thing out of your mouth says, you know, would you be interested in how I can help you with buyers or seller, you know, with buyers or something? Like you went right to, hey, I want to market your property. I want to list your property, or can we work together? I don't even know you, woman, and you're asking me, you know, do you want to work with me?
Right.
I don't even know if I like you yet. So
I need to just get rid of this Vortex script, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, the Red X script.
Yes, the Red X script. Oh, okay, good. Listen, gang, any of you on the call that are using Red X, which is awesome, they have scripts in there. Don't use those scripts. Use mine. As a matter of fact, Red X wants me to give them the rights to use my scripts. And I told them no, because they have other clients and other that aren't my students. I don't want my non-students having access to this magic dialogue. Yes.
Right.
Tanzania, don't use their dialogue. It is not good. Use mine.
Got it. Okay.
All right. What you just heard me do was the dialogue. And it worked better, yes?
Yes.
You want to build a relationship. Now, there's two types of questions. There's the questions about the house. I first asked you about the house and the property, and then I moved into, you know, where you're moving to, why there, what your commitment was. So you can break questions and put them into the two categories. The first is about the house. Those are the same questions that a buyer would ask. And what's really great about those questions is when they start answering those questions, they almost forget that you're an agent because they're so used to these types of questions from all the other buyer calls that they've gotten so far. You follow me?
Right.
So the house questions, how many bedrooms, square footage, the basement, those questions help build rapport, and they start to forget they're talking to a realtor. And if you can get to where they're moving to, why they're, you won't always. Sometimes you're going to get a tough FSBO. They're going to just give you one-line answers. How many members you got? Four. How many beds? Two. Like, they're not going to want to engage with you.
Right.
Those tougher sellers, you'll still ask those questions, but you may not ask, well, where? Let me ask you, where are you folks moving to? Because they might be like, it's none of your business. So
right.
if you feel like they won't go there, then don't you go there. Just stick
okay.
with the first category of questions. Go through those, and when you feel like you got a bit of an opening, you built some rapport, then you go to, would you be offended if I just stopped by to see your house? Okay? So make sure you go to the Power Agent website, and you print out the physical dialogue and then the expired dialogue, okay?
Got it.
Great job, Tanzania. All right, gang.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, darling. I have Gary Naguda. He asked some really great questions. But before I do that, because I'm running out of time, and he's not on the call, I do want to point out something about the magazine. And then I'll see if I have some time. This magazine, this month, my Lord, I gave you so much in here, gang. On page 27, I gave you a suggestion on how to do like a listing presentation for children when there's children involved. In a sale, and it's really to tell the homeowner how to communicate to the children that they're moving. That's a good mailing. Also, there's things that you can bring on a listing appointment on page 28. Page 29, it's just a great letter. And let me jump to some other stuff. I could do a whole conference call on just what I gave you in this magazine. But it's self-explanatory, so I'm not going to do that. I just love what I gave you. There's so much great stuff. You can't implement everything I'm going to give you in every month's magazine, so don't try. What I would do is go through the magazine and pick one or two things that you want to do. Like on page 30, there's what I call the Home Sparkle Kit, which is, you know, this is an old technique, but most agents don't do this. Like you put together like this care package for a homeowner that when they just are moving into a house for the, like you close the deal. And so that first day go into the house, they need light bulbs and, you know, brushes or Glade or utility bug disinfectant wipe. So you can put together this little package. And if you can, I don't know if you can get the buckets with your logo on it. I didn't get a chance to look into that, but if you go online and you look for, you know, customized buckets or advertising premiums is the actual search term, you might find a company that you can actually buy buckets with your logo on. Page 31, 32, and 33, these are letters that you can send out to a farm area. You just rotate these three letters. Don't be mailing out postcards on how to bake a cake or fix an engine. If you just took this, you know, just sold, and then you've got this, here's all the homes that sold in the market. Here's an updated market. These three letters, page 31, 32, and 33, you can rotate just those three letters. So you can mail to your market every month just changing the addresses in these three letters. There's a community service thing. Boy, there's just so much in this magazine. I do want to show you one thing that I gave you and explained to you. On page 39, there is an old flyer that I created that I put in there on how to do a seminar for sellers. This is just a sample. It says One Stop Realty, how to sell your home in 2010 successfully. Obviously, you changed the year. But the thing about this flyer, what I wanted you to say, how it laid out, I love this flyer and how we designed it because, first of all, it has guest speakers. Guest speakers are good where you'd have different people involved in the seminar. So that way you're not a professional speaker. You can have an attorney, home inspector, termite specialist, appraiser, and you give them 15 minutes on stage. You put their photos on the flyer. That way they're going to promote it to their database. They're going to pay to be able to be one of your speakers because it's going to cost money to put the event together. So they'll pay a fee to offset it. You know, if you've got three guest speakers plus yourself, everybody talks for 15 minutes, that's an hour. But you'll open up this seminar, you'll close it, so it'll be like an hour and a half. It could be 2 hours with networking. You can raffle off a TV that one of the sponsors pays for. So there's bullets on this flyer. This is a good layout for a flyer to use to promote an event. And then what goes with that, it's a little out of order, is as an evaluation card that people would fill out. Let me just find where that is. It's on page 37. And they would fill out this when they come to the seminar. To be eligible to win for the TV, the card must be filled out. So when they come to the seminar, they actually fill it out. They answer a few questions. This will be your lead sheet to follow up, and it's also what you would use for a raffle. There's one last thing I want to jump to before I go to Gary's question. At the around page 43, I love page 43, it says two similar homes priced the same. This is a great way to visually communicate to a homeowner. If, let's say, you've got two houses, they look similar. They're not exactly the same. There's a little difference. One's 210. They're both 210. The four bedrooms, two baths. But if you look at it, but one's a 6%, one's a 5%. As an agent, which house would you want to try and sell more than the other? Obviously, the 6%, Mr. Masana, that extra 1% actually will generate more activity, more showings, which will drive the price. Studies show people actually paying higher commissions actually net more money because they sell closer to their asking price, some cases even over their asking price. So I love page 43 is a great way to visually communicate how higher commission is good for a homeowner, how they'll actually net more. And then what I did, there's some templates that I gave you that you can use as mailing pieces. Now, I just said to Carl at the beginning of this call, you know, don't do mailings. Well, don't do mailings if you're not prospecting on the phone. If you're prospecting and you want to add to your prospecting wheel and you want to start doing mailings, I've given you some. Page 44, downsize the easy way. So for somebody who's thinking about selling and downsizing, here's some tips. This flyer, you can drop in your face. So I almost made it camera ready for you, which I'm very happy that we did, where you would put your company logo, your face, your contact. Now, what you could do with this flyer is not just do this as a mailing. This could be a door knocking thing. So let's say you have a FSBO and you want to not call but try knocking on the door. You want to give them something in value. Here's a little checklist. Page 45, competitively pricing your home is another flyer that you can do. Page 46 is just something because we're coming into the summer. If you wanted to do this as a mailing to your farm area, which is better, charcoal grills or gas grills? There's colorizing your home, how important colors are and how they can really make a house pop. Tips on caring, you know, for actually this is for flowers if you want to do that. I gave that to you, but I wouldn't actually use that. Do's and don'ts for staging your home, which is really powerful, page 49. So there's some flyers that I've given you that you can use as drop-bys, as Brian Buffini would say, do them as mailings. Have them as giveaways, icebreakers on a listing appointment when you see a homeowner and you sit down and you say, here's a couple of things I brought over for you as a gift. Follow-up mailings to a listing appointment. You go on a listing appointment, you don't get it, send them a little letter saying, thanks for giving me the time to meet with you. There's an actual letter in this month's magazine. Where is it? Public open house. Give me a second. General thank you letter. Where is that? It's somewhere here. I think it's a general thank you letter. So, you know, you can send them the thank you with one of those flyers that I gave you. Boy, there's a lot of great stuff in this month's magazine. Yeah, I'm so happy. I think we did a good job for you guys this month. Now, this last one, Gary, here was his question. He said, hey, I lost two listing appointments in the last few months over a few reasons. Number one, the seller wanted to go with an agent who was familiar with the particular town that they were listed and sold homes in. And, you know, we were out of town, so how do you deal with that? Whenever I went on a listing appointment where the house was not where my office was, I would say to a homeowner, Mr. or Mrs. Hanahana, the thing about when you put your house up for sale, we advertise your house in the town, so it doesn't matter where my office is, because people are looking based on town, not based on where the real estate office is. That's number one. So you're going to get those buyers. You're going to get the same buyers if you listed with an in-town broker. But the fact that my office is out of town, here's what happens. Sometimes we have buyers who will walk into my office because they want to look for a home in that town. but because of the price range they're in and certain other things, they may not qualify or find a home in that town. So we bring them to our sister town, which is your town. So here's my point. Because my office is out of your town, you're actually going to get more buyers you wouldn't necessarily get if you listed with a company in the same town where your house is. So actually, forget about me. If you don't like me or my company, don't listen to me. But it's actually your best interest to choose to go out of your way to find an office that's outside of your town so you get actually more exposure, more buyers. That's how I presented that one. All right, so that's it for this month, gang. We got, oh, gosh, this is a lot. I hope this helped you guys. Now, let me just go to see. Did you guys, does anybody have any last-minute questions or comments? If you want to say something to me before we hang up, just hit star 6. It'll take you off mute. You know, we're at 12 o'clock right now. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take everybody off mute. It's going to get noisy. And then we'll
get down.
All right, gang. So how was this month called? Did you guys get any value? Did you like it? Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Hello? Can you guys hear me? So that didn't work. All right, so gang, listen, thanks for calling in this month. Here's the last thing I'm going to say, and then we'll sign off. Don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help people get to their next level. So the more people that you help get to their next level in their life, the more sales you get, the more money you'll make. So be committed to not making getting listings. Don't be committed to making sales. Be committed to helping people get to their next level, and you will the money will just follow. So God bless you. Thanks for calling in. And
thanks, Daryl.
You're welcome. And until I see you guys on the call next month, don't forget to keep smiling. All right, gang. Take care. Bye-bye.